This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
So it can be lucrative, and you're probably not necessarily going to get it bang on first time. You're going to learn a lot along the way, and it's probably going to take a few projects before you start to build up a good base of professionals and a good understanding of the market you're working in and what's happening. But certainly, although it's not for everyone, you know, there's some good margins to be made, yeah.
Welcome to the Property Podcast with Wards and me, Gary Wilson, the monthly podcast where I'll share with you all the latest Kent property news, as well as speaking with industry professionals to offer advice and tips that will hopefully help make your house moving journey a little less stressful. This podcast is brought to you by Wards.
As Kent's local independent estate agent, Wards utilise years of experience and expertise to promote your property in the best possible light to the largest possible audience. For more information, receive an online valuation in less than 30 seconds or book an in-person appraisal of your property with us today. Head over to wardsofkent.co.uk to find out more about our unique approach.
So welcome to episode 5 of the Property Podcast with Wards. Today, we're going to be talking about the many things to consider when purchasing a project home with our special guest, Jonathan Carroll, Branch Development Partner at Wards. Thank you for coming in and joining us. How are you, Jonathan?
Very well, Gary. Thank you very much for having me today.
Yeah, well, we need the people who know when we've got big and important questions, and they are all big and important questions, really, when it comes to property. So as the branch development partner, what does that role entail?
Well, it entails the day-to-day running of the branch that I'm based at in Strood in Medway, where I have 10 staff. Also, I help my director, Sam Dalton, look after her area, so I get involved with some of the ideas that are needed to help run the other branches more efficiently. Been with the company for 27 years now, so man, supposedly, hopefully know what I'm doing by now, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, or you've been blagging it ever so well.
Exactly, yeah. It's a great job, you know, different people every day, different situations and problems to solve, but yeah, it's good fun.
Well, that's what we're here to solve, problems on these podcasts. So let's start with project homes. What are the key considerations for people, obviously budget conscious buyers? Everyone's budget conscious when you're buying property, particularly right now. But what are the key considerations for people who are looking to buy a project home here in Kent?
There's quite a lot of things to consider, but I think first of all, research in your local market. So, you know, understanding what's happening in the marketplace. So just initially, first of all, looking at, you know, websites. Obviously, there's lots of well-known websites out there, Rightmove, Zoopla, just to get a feel for what's coming on the market, what property prices are being achieved in the area. So just starting to get a good understanding of what's happening. You know, I think contacting a local estate agent, building up a good relationship with a local estate agent is really important, because they've got their fingers on the pulse as to what's going on. Often properties are coming on the market and won't be going live online for maybe a week or two. So if you're in there and have a good relationship with a local agent, they can maybe help you, you know, and give you the heads up when something's coming up available that might be suiting your needs. Taking some professional advice, obviously taking some professional financial advice is really important before you start the search, and before you even start to think about making an offer on property. You really need to understand financially where you're at and what's going on, particularly with mortgage rates as they are at the moment. Obviously, you're paying more than what you would have done a year ago for a mortgage, so you need to be aware of how much that's going to cost you. Set a firm budget. You know, be aware of what your limitations are, what you're going to spend. Have a contingency as well of at least probably 10% over your budget. So things will not always go right. So you need to make an allowance for those things that, you know, maybe come up that you're not expecting. So that, I suppose those are the sort of key things that, yeah, I would think that would be important for people to consider.
And obviously, so as a project, you've got the renovation costs themselves to consider, apart from all the other variables of when you buy a property. You might be buying a house, boom, straight in, that's it. That's the money to pay, because that's my home and I'm in now. I've got to plug the telly in and we're away. Renovations, obviously, you've got to try and you've got to try and assess the cost of the renovations as well. So how can they do that and factor all that in when they're buying a project home?
Well, I think the first thing to do is you've got to start from making sure that you have professional advice. Having a survey on a property is really important to understand what you're going to be up against. You know, obviously, if you're new into this, you might not be aware of what hidden things that you're going to come up against. So having a survey is very important to understand where you're going to be heading and what you might need to do. Take some professional advice from local builders, anyone that's been recommended, anyone with a good Trustpilot review or a good Google review, and recommendations from friends and family on people that have done work for them. So if you can get someone around to have a look at what you think needs to be done and get a good understanding of the budget you're going to need for these works, that's really important. And price up items, you know, boilers, kitchens, bathrooms. Go to your local DIY centre, get an idea of, you know, how much these things are going to cost you. Because again, a lot of items, as we know, have gone up in price. So what you might have thought you were going to have to pay for something a year ago is probably going to be completely different now. So I think those are the key things.
You covered most of them there, but what are the ones that people miss most often? What are those hidden costs that suddenly are the most common sort of things that people go, oh, I hadn't thought of that, or you know, the big challenges they find when they're trying to go through that process?
I think older properties, you know, if you're going to look to, you know, refurbish a Victorian home, for example, you know, they're going to have old timbers. There's going to be possibly dry rot, wet rot, damp. So those are things that should come up on a survey, but they can bite you sometimes when you're uncovering floorboards and ripping walls apart, and all of a sudden you're sort of, you know, I didn't expect that. You know, that's rotten, that needs replacing, and it could be a structural part of the property. So got to be careful there. You know, things that you can't see, electrics and plumbing that are hidden, you've got to think about, you know, those as well. And if you can't see it, I often suggest that you might need to think about, you might have to replace it, because you don't know until you rip something apart if it needs doing or not.
Absolutely. And more often than not, something's there to shock you. are there any government schemes or incentives at the moment? Because there was, a few years ago at least, the kind of help with insulating homes. That was a big thing. That seems to have sadly died away again. But are there any other things that, if you're doing a renovation project, you might look for a bit of a helping hand money-wise?
Not typically. You may possibly be eligible to get possibly some grants for listed property. So if you're tackling a listed building, sometimes the local authority might offer you grants for that. There may be some eligibility for energy efficient savings such as heating and insulation, but it depends on the local authority. Best thing to do really is to go online and maybe even contact your local council and just say, look, I'm looking at taking this on. Is there any schemes out there or anything you can offer?
Yeah, and it's definitely worth, if buying a property can obviously take a long time, sadly, but that's kind of par for the course. Things can change very suddenly. Some legislation comes in where suddenly certain kind of insulation isn't adequate any longer.
Yeah.
So it pays to keep checking back. Don't take anything. I mean, there'll be people there to advise you on that stuff as well. But I think one of those things is, as you mentioned, just keep go back.
Yes.
Just check. We're doing it now. Is it the same as when we talked about it the first time round?
Regulations are changing all the time. Yeah, so absolutely.
With the survey and the valuation and the structural condition of homes, I mean, it's obviously important, but, you know, how important is it? And, you know, how can they make sure they're getting that process right? You know, because you've got to talk to the right people, you've got to ask the right questions. But, you know, what's the real key of making that process as painless as possible?
I mean, obviously, it is essential to have a survey in every instance. Absolutely. There are, as people may well know, there's three types of survey. Typically, there's your sort of normal mortgage valuation, which is just a case of, you know, they've gone along to confirm the property's there, and, you know, that's about it, really.
It's just about standing.
You know, then there's your sort of your level two, which is typically what would have been referred as your home buyer's report. So that's a little bit more in depth, gives you a little bit more information about the property, about its plumbing, insulation, windows. It goes a bit more in depth as to what the condition of that property is. And then there's your sort of level three, your building survey. So certainly if you were looking at a property that's dated, if it's there's evidence of cracking or, you know, sort of poor repair, then I would always advise probably a full structural, full building survey is where you want to go. And again, most agents should be able to point you in the right direction with a good local building surveyor. You know, you might be looking at spending between £300 to £600 on that, depending on the type of property and the value of the property. But it's money well worth spent. And I would advise anyone that's doing a project to always get a professional building survey on a property.
So you're going to look at the structure of the building and all those kind of physical concerns, but also there's other things you've got to look out for, like planning permission and building regulations. You might be in a certain area that doesn't allow for certain things to happen. So what's the advice on that front?
Again, it's certainly contacting your local authority. People might not be aware that just by doing a conversion on a garage and making it into accommodation as part of the home, that would need generally building regulation. If you were going to knock down a wall and that required a structural beam to support, that's going to require building regulation. And over a certain meterage, if you're going to build out on the property, that's probably going to need potentially planning permission. There is permitted development that is allowed on certain property now, so the rules have relaxed slightly in terms of whether you need planning or not. So the best thing to do is quite simply speak to your local planning office, because they are very helpful. You can do a lot of it online, and the planning officer or officers would be able to give you, you know, pretty clear direction on that. So it's always best to make contact there. But yeah, I mean, certainly one of the ways in which you can increase the value of a development is to think about maybe converting a garage, or maybe converting a room, extending the property in some way, which can be done, you know, in some instances quite cost efficiently, and it can increase the value and the saleability of the property in many instances. So definitely worth looking at.
I would say, having gone through the process myself a couple of times, when it comes to planning, you were saying talk to the planning people. Absolutely. I think because you read local newspaper stories of like the nightmares, they built a moat and now the planning people are involved, and often the planning people are the enemy. It's kind of built like that. But the ones that I've dealt with in various places, they're there to make sure you get the job done right, but they want to help you do that. They're not against you doing things, as long as you want to do things right. If you accept, I want to do this the right way, and you go to them, they're really super helpful. And they can also, they'll come out to you during the building and you know, transformation of a building and the renovation and all that. You can call them sometimes in the morning and say, hey, this is happening. Would you like to take a look, make sure these beams are in the right place? And they'll be with you in the afternoon. And hey, yeah, that's all good. Next stage. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. That would be key sign-offs on a development or an extension. You know, they'll come out and obviously check that the footings are the right depth, and you know, your foundations you're laying are the right material, etc. And it's so important, because so many properties that we come to sell for you know, maybe first time developers or investors who may be first into this. This field sometimes have been known to make the odd mistake, and they've done a conversion or an alteration and they haven't got that certification. So then we're in a situation where, you know, through the legal process, we have to sort of try and circumnavigate these things a little bit, or come up with a situation where they might have to get an indemnity policy to protect them or protect the buyers, or they have to get retrospective planning, which is all very much a headache and you know, very difficult to sort out in some instances. So definitely do your research first of all, get it right first of all, because it'll save a headache moving forward.
Absolutely. Because like if you go to them first and say, is that beam right, they'll look at it and go, yeah, that's right, and that's that done. But if you haven't, at some point they'll come back and they'll dig through your plasterboard to have a look at it,
exactly,
and ruin your day. So they're there to help, obviously. I felt anyway in my dealings. But when it comes to the professional people, the people you're paying to come in and do the stuff, how and who do we decide to get in?
Again, I think I mentioned it earlier. Anybody that's recommended, certainly tradespeople that have got good Google reviews and Trustpilot reviews. Recommendations probably one of the biggest, I suppose, ways in which you would have some sort of confidence that person or persons are going to do a good job for you. You know, if someone, a friend or family, have recommended someone, then you know, that goes a long way. Certainly, again, getting the correct certification as well. So when you're getting these works done, electrics, plumbing, if you're replacing a boiler, for instance, you know, having these safety certificates for those is really important, because, you know, if you find that you've got someone that will do a job which seems to be on the cheap, or, you know, their quote's a lot lower than someone else, that should ring alarm bells, because cheap is not always best when you're developing, you know, a property. It's better to pay. Yes, you want to pay a good, sensible price, but you want to be having someone that knows their stuff and can issue you the certificates that you need. Because when it, again, it comes to selling the property and the conveyancing part, you want to make sure that you've got everything there so that, you know, that doesn't delay the whole process. Also, I think that something that's really important to consider is, although getting professionals in is very important, at the same time, I think don't be afraid of having a go yourself at some of the renovations, because that's the way in which you're going to really keep your costs down. So, you know, you don't need a certification to put a kitchen in. You don't need certification to lay tiles or to do landscaping. These are all things that, you know, you could potentially do to save a lot of money. All the labouring, you know, obviously, you know, taking off your wallpaper and ripping up your carpets is easy, but you could get stuck into more involving roles by having a look on YouTube, you know, and have a go. What's the worst going to happen? You know, it's often something that maybe people think they're going to have to pay someone to do, but they might be quite capable of doing it themselves.
Yeah. I think one of the most exciting things someone can say to you during a property development is, that's not load bearing. And then you can go in with a sledgehammer and knock that wall that you hate right out. And it's quite a good feeling on lots of levels. What about the insights on the potential financial benefits of buying a project home? Obviously, some people are going to buy it and it's going to be a canny investment because for themselves, it will be worth more than if they'd have bought it at finished level.
Yeah.
But also people do it to make money. So what is the insights on that for us?
I think to get to that good point, you need to consider your purchase price and your projected sale price. Again, it all comes back to making sure you're doing your research. So looking at what other homes in that area that are in good condition, what they're selling for. Again, you know, that's going to come with a good relationship with your local agent to understand, you know, what type of buyers are out there and what they're looking for. So, I mean, I would say it's probably reasonable to expect anywhere between a 15% to maybe 30% profit margin if you do your homework and you do it right. So it can be lucrative, and you're probably not necessarily going to get it bang on first time. You're going to learn a lot along the way, and it's probably going to take a few projects before you start to build up a good base of professionals and a good understanding of the market you're working in and what's happening. But certainly, although it's not for everyone, you know, there's some good margins to be made. Yeah.
Ask our expert.
That brings us to our Ask Our Expert question. That's you, Jonathan. It's been sent in by one of our listeners. Are there any effective ways to negotiate the purchase price of a project home, particularly when working within a tight budget? So this is really when they first deal with you, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then you deal with the people that are selling the property. So,
yeah, of course, yeah.
How can we have an effective conversation with you when we first come to see about a property?
So I think it's about using your position. So if you're going into this and you're looking for a project, now you may be in a fortunate position where you don't have to sell a property. Maybe you know, you've got nothing to sell. That if you are in that position, that's the best, you know, sort of situation you can have, because you can use that as a bit of a bargaining tool to say to the potential seller that you're trying to buy from, you know, I can move quickly. I've got my finance in place. Certainly if you've got a good relationship with an estate agent, you know, they may have helped you with that and got you into a good position. You want to use the agent to put your offer forward in the best possible light. So often an agent will offer their financial services, they'll offer their legal services. And quite often, if you're taking advantage of those, the agent will be singing your praises and back in your corner and saying to the seller, look, you know, this person's a good bet. You know, you should be looking to seriously consider their offer. Also, be thinking about, before you make an offer, again, do your research. You know, maybe if you could organise a survey or even have some professional advice on what is going to be your approximate budget for this project. Because if you can go in and say, look, you know, my offer is based on some evidence here of what the market's doing, what I'm going to have to spend. This is, you know, where it's at in comparison with other properties. Hence, you know, that's my offer. But, you know, it's hopefully a solid offer based on that, on your position.
Because two people could, you know, someone could have a price they want, but two people
where they are in another chain or whether they are financially, you know, someone can be a better buyer even if they're potentially offering less money. So there's a bargain possible.
Yeah.
So before we come to the end of this month's episode, Jonathan, do you have any final pieces of advice or key takeaways you can offer to budget-conscious buyers considering a project home purchase? What are these are the kind of must-have, must-dos, must-knows.
Alluded to it earlier, but first thing is research, 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 research your area. So, you know, what market are you going for and what's that area typically like? So, for example, are the homes you're looking at mainly typically first-time buyers? Are they family homes? Are they executive homes? So understand, you know, the local market and what's moving in the local market. So again, that goes back to a forming relationship with an estate agent, because the agent will be able to tell you, well, look, if you're buying a home in this area, that's your market. That's what you're going to be selling to. Always have a contingency budget. So, you know, if you're buying a property, you've got to be thinking at least 10% over and above just to allow for any problems that might happen. Look at the possibilities also of maybe a bit of an exit plan. And what I mean by that is, you know, often your first foray into this situation, it might not go to plan. There might be something that sideswipes you, and you know, it could be anything. Could it be a change in your personal circumstances? So what could you do if that happened? So maybe think about, could I then rent the property out and give yourself a bit of time? So, you know, that's something to think about as well. Is the mortgage product that you've got going to allow you to do that? So, you know, think of a bit of an exit plan just in case it didn't go quite to plan. Sounds interesting, but maybe something people might not consider. But look at the neighbours, because a lot of people have, in my experience, bought property, but look at sort of the neighbours and how they've looked after their homes. What's the neighbourhood like? You know, it's no good going in and buying a property and spending probably too much money and then realising that the neighbours either side have never touched their garden and it's overgrown into yours. And unfortunately, you know, things aren't in very good repair either side. And you might be a rose between two thorns, but, you know, that's not always going to be easy to sell. So just have a look at that and think about the area in which you're buying and the environment which you're buying. So happy hunting.
So don't forget, it's always a good idea to consult with a financial advisor, solicitor or estate agent, or all three, to help you navigate the home buying process and answer any additional questions you have. Thanks again to our special guest on this episode, Jonathan Carroll, Branch Development Partner at Wards, for sharing all his knowledge and expertise with us today. You can check out all our previous episodes at im-listening.co.uk, and don't forget to check out the Property Podcast with Wards next month. See you then. And make sure you hit the subscribe button. Thanks for listening to the Property Podcast with Wards. If you'd like more information on the subjects that we've covered in today's episode, just head over to the Wards website at wardsofkent.co.uk, or you can follow us on our social media channels. You can check out our latest episodes at www.im-listening.co.uk or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.